This week's episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers rents premium strollers in the Orlando area. Whether it be a single, double, or special needs, they can help you out. Kingdom Strollers is also Disney approved, which means they can deliver directly to your hotel and pick it up when you're done. The next time you're headed to the Orlando area, don't pay extra to fly with your stroller. Save that room in your trunk for those extra pair of tennis shoes you'll know you'll need. Contact our friends over at Kingdom Strollers at www.kingdomstrollers.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Reese. You are listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast. Have fun.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 378 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and on this week's show, it's going to be all about those audio animatronics. Before we get into that, let me introduce who we have with us tonight. First off, we have Morgan. Hey, Morgan, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going? I am ready to talk robots. I'm simplifying it.
You remember when they used to call them robots?
Yeah.
Okay, along with us tonight, we also have Sam. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
It's great, Ed. And all I could think of is Walt sitting next to a tiki bird saying, "They're so new, we had to think up a name. Audio animatronics." Audio animatronics. And the bird squeaks and says something. And Walt goes, "Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say."
The classic scene.
I've seen it 100 times. In fact, I just did a Tiki Room video here recently. So I watched that a couple of times.
Very cool. And along with us tonight, one more time, we have Melissa. Hey, Melissa, how's it going?
Hello, everyone. I, too, am ready to learn a few new things about the animatronics at Walt Disney World and Disneyland.
Excellent. And there are
so many.
Three in
a row. That makes you a regular here, Melissa. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Before we get to that, I want to introduce a new segment that we have on our blog. Morgan's been able to put together a lot of the openings, closings, and maybe coming soons going on at Walt Disney World. Morgan, tell us about that.
All right. So as we know, in the COVID world that we live in, Walt Disney World doesn't have everything open. You can't go to every single restaurant, you know, every single ride, even every single resort. Not everything's open. So what I thought I would do is try to compile a list, and we'll do a list bi-weekly, weekly, depending on how often everything's going to change. So I did the first one. It's as of February 12th. So as of February 12th, you can go onto our website, thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and look at it. It's called Walt Disney World Openings, Closings, Refurbishes, and More. And just give you a forewarning. It is a big list. I tried to, you know, break it down as easily as I could, but I wanted to give you guys as big of a list and as much information that I could get my hands on. So if you're planning on going to Disney anytime soon, you know what's open, what can I book, what can I plan, what can I do. So that's where we're at.
Any big surprises when you put that together?
The main surprise to me, so the first thing that I put on there was the refurbishment, because I always like knowing what's closed because of refurbishments. And starting in April, the Contemporary Resort is going to start reimagining their guest rooms.
Ooh.
Polly, all they're saying right now is, because I actually did get some of these resorts are going to reopen on these dates. Polly right now is just reopening summer 2021. So we don't have a specific date for Polly yet. But
got it.
There's enough rooms that they could probably do a refurbishment at Contemporary and still be okay with their October 50th celebration.
You're going to do one floor at a time, right? That's how they do it. They just take a little bit out of inventory. They do one floor at a time and then on to the next one.
Yeah, it should be no problem.
And as we said before, they've got this down to a T. So they can pump those out pretty quickly once they've got the design figured out, which, of course, they're not going to start refurbishment without the design planned out.
And depending on what depth. Okay, well, cool. We'll definitely check that out. And basically weekly updates, bi-weekly.
I haven't, since this is the first one, I don't want to say weekly because there might not be enough. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, if I check 1 week and there's just a whole bunch of information, then I'm going to throw it out there weekly. But I want to say at least bi-weekly. Okay. I'm going to try to get this out for everybody.
And we'll remind,
I can't wait to read it.
And we'll remind everybody when there's an update on the show here so they can go over and check it out. So perfect.
And, of course, we will post on our social as well.
Okay. Okay, well, so tonight what we're going to do, and actually this idea came about because of one of the last shows we did. Also, it came about because, you know what, when you think back to the old Disneyland show on TV, The Wonderful World of Color, basically you remember that whole beginning of the show. And one of the things that stuck out in the beginning of the show were the parks were the animatronics. And for me, whenever I think of Walt Disney parks, I always think of animatronics tied into that whole thought. I don't think I can think of a Walt Disney park, Disneyland, Walt Disney World, without those animatronics. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I can't think of, when I think Walt Disney World, I can't think of Walt Disney World without thinking animatronics. Like, I feel like it's one and the same. Like, the rides would not be the same at Walt Disney World or Disneyland or any of the Disney parks without animatronics.
Yep. Now, Sam, tell us really quick, what is the animatronic we refer to?
You know, there are so many. What do you go to? But when I think animatronics, I immediately go to Walt and I immediately go to Abraham Lincoln. And that's where my mind goes. Because like I said, when we opened the show, the video of Walt talking to the Tiki Bird, the video of Walt in the Disneyland 1964, which is, by the way, on Disney Plus to watch, where you see all of the details about what was happening for the World's Fair and everything going into Abraham Lincoln, everything going into the dinosaurs and how that all came together. It's amazing when you look at animatronics and what they are.
Sure, no doubt. All came about because of, and I don't almost want to say it this way, but I think because of money. The World's Fair is, I think, what pushed the envelope as far as imagination and the engineering of Walt Disney World. Actually, I guess it'd be more WED, wouldn't it? As far as the company that did the engineering for Walt Disney World. And Disneyland, I guess at the time, Disney World wasn't at, even available. And we're talking way back 1963. Around that time frame when the animatronics first came onto the scene.
Yeah, and the first one being the Tiki Bird, which we talked about. And I just did a video with some footage I had. And one of the interesting things was Rolly Crump reminiscing of one of the early meetings with Walt. He said that there were five people in the meeting, and they talked about the Tiki Room, and he wanted to redo Adventureland, and they had to come up with something. And Herb Ryman had done some sketches really quickly of what the inside of it would look like for this dinner show that Walt wanted to do. And he had pictures of birds in cages all around the inside of this with dining tables under it. And Rolly said that Walt commented, "You can't do that because the birds will poop in the food." And that's exactly what he said. And then they explained to Walt that, well, they're not birds, they're robots. And that was the spark that led to the animatronics and led to all this. So I think it's interesting that the Tiki Room started as the Rainforest Cafe, you know, 30 years before that ever happened. And it turned into a show that introduced us to animatronics and showed us that this is kind of cool. Look at what we can do with a robot and make it repeatable continually.
I know, a total mainstay.
I think, too, of Walt and the bird that he brings back from New Orleans and, you know, kind of pushes them. Look, I want you to make this better. What can you do with it? And what they came up with and what they continue to come up with is just amazing. Looking at now, you have the Navi River animatronic, and you kind of have to take a second glance to say, is that real? Or is that a robot?
kind of is thing. It a screen? Was one of my first thoughts, Melissa.
Yeah, is it a screen? Like a that's even, yeah. So it's amazing how far they've come. And I agree. I don't think that it would be Disney without those animatronics. Think about some of the other parks down the road, and they don't have them. You know, it's mainly screens. And you just don't get that connection to the characters that you love and getting to see them in real life, because normally that's how you engage with the characters, through a screen at home. But when you go to Disney, they're real and they're right in front of you. You can see them from all angles and hear them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no doubt. And the audio animatronics were created to kind of save, well, of course, with the animals, you don't have to have real animals, but with the people, you don't have to have paid actors on set all the time. By having the audio animatronics, or just the animatronics, doing simple things, you brought a reality to the attraction that was pretty cool. You got to figure, you're riding past these things for the most part, and you're not really having a long time to look at them, you know, unless you're stopped. But other than that, and what you're getting is a pretty good representation of what they're supposed to be. So animatronics, now I think back for my first look at them, I guess it's when you, on the Carousel of Progress, when you're waiting for your turn to go inside the theater, they have that little movie outside there.
Yep.
And they go over the different things about the songs and how they put together Carousel of Progress. But the really cool thing is how they show where they actually programmed the father sitting on the stage. So you have Walt talking to one of his Imagineers who's sitting in a chair with a wire apparatus around his head, around his arms, and around his body, so that the animatronic on stage would represent and do the things that he was doing. And then they would record that. And I believe it started out as paper tape, and then they moved to magnetic tape. And I'm not even sure what they do now. It's all computers, I'm sure.
It's all computers. It's all digital.
Right.
So that clip that you're talking about, Ed, is in Disneyland Goes to the World's Fair. It's a Wonderful World of Disney special that you can find on YouTube, Sam's Disney Diary, maybe. But you can also find it on Disney Plus in much better quality. And it goes through everything that they did for Carousel of Progress and the Abraham Lincoln animatronic, which, by the way, it's kind of cool that those were both happening at the same time, the things they were learning from both of those to go back and forth. The history is fascinating.
If you guys have you guys ever done the Marshalling the Magic Kingdom tour?
Not yet.
I have not.
Yeah,
not yet. You and I like that
Morgan,
answer.
You and that's I did it.
I was going to ask together. Did you do that with me? So me, Melissa, Jimmy, and a couple of other Disney nerds did it during one of the trips that me and Jimmy went down. Jimmy brought a son, and me and Charlotte actually bunked together. And that's like, they talked about, you know, Carousel of Project Progress, It's a Small World. You know, they talked about Hall of Presidents, which really, you know, comes from Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. So it's actually kind of cool to do that tour and kind of get more into Walt's head than you could have before. And we actually rode Carousel of Progress on the tour. So you actually got to talk, you hear more and learn more about Walt's influence with these audio animatronics, and it's really cool, and I highly recommend, especially since this is the topic we're talking about.
Sure.
This is a tour that whenever they bring them back.
So is it one where as you're going through the Carousel of Progress, you're listening to your tour guide because they're in your ear? Is that what's going on?
Well, they weren't. Actually, no, we did have the little ear sets. Mm-hmm.
She took over the microphone, I think.
Oh, she but basically Carousel. It was a ride with just the tour guides, and
right.
They gave
yeah.
you a,
they,
so you did.
They got everyone else cool. out of our pod, and
cool.
save them for the next one. And then she would talk during it, and point out little nuances and things.
That's
but what
cool.
we were
I'm gonna
on,
take it just for that.
Yeah, she had yeah. a flashlight to kind of help point at some of the stuff she would talk about.
Yep, and then
excellent.
When we were on, It's a Small World, and talking about, again, the World's Fair and the audio animatronics in that ride, she was in our ear then at that point.
Yeah,
and,
there's no
and
other
the poem was really focused in on that as well. But she does talk a lot about the costuming and things like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, we're still talking about the beginnings and the past of the animatronics. And real quick, before we get too far away from Abe Lincoln, just want to pass on this story, and I'm sure I mentioned it on the show before, but one of the best stories I ever saw about Abe Lincoln and the early issues they had with the animatronics was in this interview I transcribed, where they were talking about the pneumatic fluid they used in Abe Lincoln. basically they had fluids in there and they would pressurize them and that would make the limbs move and different things. So at the time and even now, that type of fluid, hydraulic fluid, is red. So here's the problem. They demoed Abe Lincoln, and right before they were supposed to demo him, and I think in front of the in front of the Illinois representatives, because he was for the Illinois delegation or for the state of Illinois.
Yeah.
He had a major malfunction where he was busting out hydraulic fluid all underneath his shirt. And wouldn't you know it, it looks like they shot Lincoln because it was red hydraulic fluid coming through their shirt. Walt freaked out. He's like, we can't have that. They created a new type of hydraulic fluid that was clear, and basically they used that from then on. He was like, there's no way we're going to have that problem again.
The history is unbelievable when you look at that. And I just did a little research for another video I did about the Hall of Presidents. And that whole Abraham Lincoln and everything that was happening for the World's Fair, Walt had, and there's a map of the 1958 Disneyland expansion that includes Edison Square, which is a street behind Main Street, which had on it the Hall of Presidents. His plan was to have the Hall of Presidents in Disneyland all along. It's one of those ideas that kind of got pushed to the side. And when they were building Walt Disney World, you'll hear some interviews from the old Imagineers around this, they mentioned that they felt that Florida was too close to New Orleans to have a New Orleans Square. They wanted something different. That's where Liberty Square came from. And they resurrected the plans that Walt had for the Hall of Presidents. It's an amazing how it's all connected together. It's cool.
Yeah, very
yeah,
nice.
Nothing ever dies at Disney. It's always, right. It's shelved for a while and it will come back and get reimagined and just made that much better until it finally premieres.
And real quick, and this is off the subject and I apologize, it'll be really quick. This past week, there was a lot of different Twitter posts and articles about what we've kind of known in the past, but what's kind of surfaced again, how Disney reuses scenes in their animation. It was wild where they showed Winnie the Pooh and Christopher Robin, and then Mowgli from Jungle Book, each doing the same exact thing, walking up a hill, throwing a rock, jumping over this, and they showed many different scenes like that. So when you say things never get thrown away at Disney, you're not kidding.
That's right.
Well,
so definitely check that out.
Though, so the mold for John in Carousel of Progress is actually, for his face, is reused for, it's like a monk or a priest in Spaceship Earth. And you see the same thing in Jungle Cruise and in Haunted Mansion. They just reuse these molds and make them slightly different colors and put
and
different
pirates.
Hair and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, Pirates is another great one.
There's
so,
some
yeah.
presidents in
even,
Pirates.
Even in animatronics, they're reusing things make them better.
Sure. Now, over time, they've had different types of versions of the animatronics. They have, of course, the very simple ones and very non-animatronic versions where they'll do very simple motions. Then they kind of graduated up in the 80s to a new version, which they actually labeled the A100, which did a lot more things. You would consider the witch over at the old Great Movie Ride to be one of those newer type of animatronics. We also mentioned the Pharaoh a couple shows back, or actually last show, as being another one of those more realistic animatronics. One other one, which is the most famous, I think, at this point, was when they added Captain Jack to the Pirates ride over at Magic Kingdom and then in Disneyland.
Yeah, I was actually reading something where they actually say that with the A100s that they created, it takes 8 hours to program 1 second of movement on the A100.
Wow.
I believe it.
Well, I guess you're actually animating for, or you're programming for all the different functions, facial movements,
yeah.
arm movements, fingers, things like that, waist.
Well, I mean, if you think about Jack Sparrow, even just something as simple as, you know, his eyebrow moving or, you know, a simple, like every little movement that he makes, because he doesn't just move his eyebrow 1 second and then his hand, he's moving everything almost at once. So you've got to program every single little thing that's right. getting moved every single second.
Oh, yeah. So. Fun stuff, though. I love to see that. Okay, well, so I tell you what, real quick. Do you guys have any favorites from the past that are no longer in the parks? I mean, there's some that I definitely miss. I'm just curious if anybody else has that little bit of nerdness going on.
you just mentioned one of what I would call the top three that I love, which is The Witch from The Great Movie Ride.
Yeah. True.
The Wicked Witch was incredible. And that was one of those things where if you got up to the front and you were watching that animatronic, just amazing. Still, to me, one of the best that they've ever had at Disneyland.
What was cool is it had more than one effect. You had that awesome animatronic, but you also had the disappearing effect, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With that smoke.
Mm-hmm. And to do that over and over again for each ride vehicle coming through, clear the smoke, and do it again.
Yep.
Is pretty amazing.
Right. But you did nail the con of that, is that you had to be in the first half, at least the first half, and perfect to be in the first car to have that to, like, the full effect.
Yeah.
Cool.
I've ridden it in the beginning where I get to see her come out in the smoke, and I've also been in the back of the car where she's already out. I'm like, dang it, I missed her.
Yeah. But then again, you know, it always kind of balanced out. There was other things you definitely took advantage of in the back of that car, too. How about you other guys? Anybody have a real favorite from the past that's no longer there?
Well, I want to get it on a technicality that I'm going to call the Yeti. That he is no longer a true animatronic. He has not been working for a very long time, and I just don't think that he's ever actually going to come back. So he's more of a statue now, and I'm very sad about that he's in the past. I don't think we'll ever see him again.
Right. No, I agree. Did you see him moving in the beginning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that only one time was he actually working when I saw him, and then every time after, it's never been working.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to see him a couple of times. And you're right, it's unfortunate. Sad.
He goes by so fast.
It was noticeable. As he reached, the big thing was reaching out the arm for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As you went underneath of him. That was, you like can't fake that.
Space Mountain with the lights on. You kind of just felt like you had to cover your head a little bit and go underneath them.
Pull your hands down. Yep, very cool. Very cool. You know who I really miss? And this is kind of a weird one, but when I was going through, you know, the animatronics that are gone that really kind of remember and think about, you remember over at Epcot, the Wonders of Life Pavilion, and they had the ride where you had Buzzy, the little kid, Cranium Command.
I remember that ride.
Yep.
And then what happened, Buzzy was basically controlling the entire ship, which is basically the little boy, 12-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. He wasn't really that animated, but the character's voice and the way he did kind of whiz around in his chair and look at the audience and bring you into it, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember him when I was a kid, because I really liked that show. So yeah,
very cool.
That's a good one. For me, when I think of past ones, the first one that comes to my head is the redhead from Pirates.
That's a current. Mm-hmm. That's like a recent past.
Yeah, but that's the first one that I think of. I mean, there's other ones too. Like, I mean, I was also thinking about the Stitch animatronic from Stitch's Great Escape, but the redhead is the first one that I think of when I think of past animatronics.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
You know, when you said that, it takes me right across the street there in Tomorrowland to what used to be the Time Seeker. Was that his name? The Robin Williams character?
Oh, no. Nine-Eyes the assistant. The Timekeeper is the scientist. That's his name, Timekeeper.
But is that the robot, the Timekeeper?
No, Nine-Eye was sent through time by the Timekeeper.
Got it.
Oh, right. Yeah, he was the guy floating around in France and with Jules Verne and whatever. Okay, cool.
Yes.
Okay, well, so now the next kind of advancement that came with the animatronics at the parks was...
Somebody's yelling at their radio right now saying, they got it wrong. So let us know.
Robin Williams was the Timekeeper, and he came to life and had Nine-Eye prepared for the journey through time.
Okay.
Right, sorry, that was a cool attraction. I remember him up there walking in and going, wow, that's kind of cool. Because it looked like a robot. I mean, it was an animatronic, but it looked like the robot would look. It didn't have a skin on it, right?
That's sure. We'll bounce again across the alley or across the street in Tomorrowland and to Stitch's Great Escape or to the Extraterrestrial when we went through the pre-show. You had a pretty realistic looking robot in there explaining the ins and outs of what's going to happen.
Well, it's Tomorrowland. I guess that's what you should have in there, right?
Definitely. Okay, so now the next big, I guess advancement, you would say, with the animatronics was with Mr. Potato Head. So when they opened up Toy Story Mania, one of the big things about the ride was, of course, the ride itself, but the attractions queue where they put this animatronic of Mr. Potato Head. The big attraction here was that, well, twofold. First, he could see people and talk directly to people. That's amazing. The second was that he can then manipulate himself and actually take his ear out and put his ear back in, which today sounds so simple. But animatronic-wise, no, not so much.
Yeah, I remember the first time seeing Mr. Potato Head, and I was just like, oh, that's cool. It's smooth movement. Like I don't want to move from the queue. Everybody else can go behind me. I just want to watch Potato Head for a minute here.
I think it really sells that you've kind of shrunken down into that toy world by seeing him like your size or bigger, and that he's interacting with you and he's alive. You really feel like you are in Toy Story with Andy's toys.
Yep.
Oh, he was the perfect carnival barker, taking advantage of people walking by and keeping them moving along. But that was very cool. And I guess the other one that was really cool at the same time was they put the Pixar lamp out there for some shows in that little building across the way from the Mania building. And unfortunately, that didn't last long at all. But it was a pretty cool-looking animatronic. You definitely check out YouTube to see him.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I was watching, trying to kind of think of all the, you know, animatronics that came and went and are still there, kind of doing my research before the podcast. And Luxo Jr. was the name of the lamp that came out. And supposedly, not only did it stop because of just technical issues and it was breaking down and all that, but Luxo is actually the name of the lamp. And it is a trademarked name because this is the name of the lamp. Like if you were going to go buy that type of lamp in the store, and that company.
But how did they
lawsuit against Disney? Because Disney actually used the Luxo name, and that was one of the, they didn't use it before.
Oh, so Pixar never used? I thought that's how we knew what
Pixar
that was called,
never
though.
Called it Luxo until, like,
Pixar never tried to sell a T-shirt that said Luxo on it.
Fair enough.
Right.
And that's where the lawsuit came from.
Right.
Fair enough.
So, and in the lawsuit included that animatronic. So, of course, not officially, but, you know, obviously the Luxo lamp, you know, went away.
That's a shame.
And the rumor is it's partly because of the lawsuit and partly because of technical issues.
Yeah. Now, he was pretty fun.
Lawsuit.
Definitely a cool show, nighttime, daytime. Nighttime, they had the lights go on in that little area with the trees and stuff like that, and they would kind of beat to the music. So that tied into it. And he would do different jigs and different song, you know, different dances and stuff. Pretty cool for an animatronic.
Yeah, I never got to see it. So, like, once I watched, you know, I'm looking at extinct animatronics, I'm like, I never got to see that one.
Right. Okay, now, so one last kind of thought for me as far as past animatronics, and it's kind of wild because you have some major attractions that are no longer with us that, you know, we grew up with. The first of them being Ellen's Energy Adventure, or whatever we know it as. And the animatronics in that were pretty cool in that they were kind of the first, like, big things I'd seen at the time, the first time I was on it and such. Granted, and we'll save Ellen for a later part of the show. We'll talk about her a little later. But the dinosaurs and just the way they had everything set up, and they were really, really cool. And then we can't really leave, and we kind of mentioned it, but we can't leave the past without talking about the Great Movie Ride.
Yep.
As far as a whole collection of animatronics, that really took the cake. And they had a lot of different ones doing a lot of different things.
From when you went right around the corner, Singing in the Rain, Mary Poppins, just go right down the list of all the animatronics that were in that.
Sure, and for the most part, they're more sentimental, I think, because they really had some limited motion going on in there. But the way they utilized them, I think, was the promise of that ride, was the really, you know, the attraction.
Paid off with the Wicked Witch. It was perfect.
Right. And she was the one that went to town, definitely movement wise. But you're right. Like Singing in the Rain, he was just standing there. But the music, the rain falling down around him, the scene itself, that animated him.
Yeah. As a kid, I remember both going on, you know, Ellen's Energy, before it was Ellen Energy, and the Great Movie Ride. And I remember being in awe at both of those rides. Like, that first scene with the dinosaurs looking up around me and thinking, oh my gosh, like,
mm-hmm.
I was still old enough to know that they're not real. But then with the Disney magic, you're like, are they real? What's going on here? And then the Great Movie Ride is one of my favorite rides. If we look at extinct rides, that will always be on my list. And I've always been a movie buff. So to kind of step into those scenes, and these audio animatronics are representing these iconic roles, you know, was a big thing for me. And personally, for me, I'm distantly related to Gene Kelly. So nice. That singing in the rain scene always kind of like tugged at me, because like, hey, that's my cousin, because he's a distant cousin.
Nice. Very cool.
I love it.
So. I can say that I've never seen the alien animatronic. I was always too afraid to have my eyes open in that scene, so I don't even know what he looks like.
There's two of
them. Alien encounter?
Yeah.
No, in the...
In Great Movie Ride.
Right.
He comes down from above. Yeah, I could never... I could see Sigourney Weaver. She's over to your left, but I would just cover my eyes, even as a grown adult. I could just never do it.
That's funny. You know, there was two aliens. There was one above you, but there's also one to the right.
Oh, see, I wouldn't even know wall. That. I didn't have my eyes open.
Yeah.
She saw Sigourney and closed her eyes. Okay, there's Sigourney. I'm closing my eyes now.
I knew that she would be over there, and that was the time that I had to close, because they would always stop. You know, they stopped the tram, like, and go super slow through that section. Just move.
Oh, sure.
I remember as a kid, I slunched down, thinking that the alien above me was actually going to get me.
Yeah, well, that was the whole idea, right?
Yeah.
It was
good.
I mean, like I said, that ride is a perfect example of audio animatronics.
And that alien, just to bring up another type of animatronic, there's a lot of the animatronics that basically are stupid. They basically just pop out at you. That kind of was one of those types. Haunted Mansion, another perfect example, as you're going through the graveyard. Things that are basically popping up and jumping out at you. Very, very simple. But if you're not expecting it, they're going to scare you or you know, just make it a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, those kind of static animatronics that they don't do a whole lot. Maybe their eyes move a little bit, but their main purpose is like on a piston to just kind of bounce up and down or pop up and down.
Yep.
But if you think about it, think about all the work that was done on the back end, backstage.
Yeah.
Just to make it pop up.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, with still a lot of programming to get their eyes and their eyebrows to look like that. I kind of think back to even some of the work Jim Henson did, and I'm sure how influenced he was by watching this, that he would mention the mouth has to be kind of open for the character to look alive. If you constantly have the mouth closed or the mouth like sagging, they don't look alive. Mm-hmm. And so just those small nuances that you don't think about, but they breathe life into these characters, whether it's a puppet or an animatronic, is those fine details that the Imagineers at Disney just do a spectacular job of.
Yeah, and if you think about it, like, Mr. Potato Head was one of the first animatronics that, like, the lips actually didn't just go up and down. It moved like it was sounding out the vowels like that.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So now, Morgan also brought up another point, too, as far as what you said, what goes into the animatronic just for that pop-up. Have you guys ever heard of a game called Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so basically from that game...
Two was the best, by the way.
Three was a little bit too much.
Exactly. But, yeah, see that? Yeah. All right, you have played.
Anyway, so what the thing... You have the chance to put animatronics on your rides, so you also have to figure out when your car gets to a certain point the animatronic's going to animate. So that definitely ties into it, and it's not just all the programming that makes it move. There is timing. It's when the car comes by... There's a timing for the next car so that the animatronic can recoil and start and get ready for the next, you know, the action again. Finding Nemo over in Epcot. The fish with all the teeth.
The one that has like the little glowing thing.
Right, with the bait. Yeah. That worked in the beginning.
The cougar arm.
And stopped for about 5 years. And then they finally fixed it and it moves like 10 times faster than it ever did.
Yeah.
But again, one of those jump out and it resets itself. And the next car comes by and it jumps out, does the same thing again and over and over.
I think about Olaf in The Frozen Adventure, and that he has to get across the stage, right, and like send you on your way and then get himself back to the other side to greet the next boat. And there are certain seats that are better than others. You really lock eye contact in that front row.
Right.
But you're still even in the back seats. Recognize he's coming with you, but that's some pretty amazing timing. And I know it doesn't always work. That ride sometimes shuts down because of Olaf, but it is pretty amazing how they timed that to get you on your way. I've almost broken my neck
trying to look back to see how it's resetting itself because it does. It follows you, and then in the same motion goes the other way, which is very similar to Disneyland Cars Land and what Mater does, which is just on a bigger scale, kind of the same thing.
Right.
Just amazing to watch.
Yeah. And also, you know, now you brought up that ride, which brings up another form of animatronic now. We're kind of graduating up to the next form. And with the introduction of Seven Dwarves Mine Train and the Frozen attraction over at Epcot, we have now the animatronics that are moving very fluidly, but we also have now projected faces. So now we have animated projected faces on these animatronics that are bringing so much more emotion, and they can do almost anything that a face can do, that it's just kind of making it a little endless of where they're going next.
Yeah, because if you think about Potato Head, it was only his eyes.
Right.
So now we've got the whole face.
Yep, and Seven Dwarves done very, very well throughout the entire ride. And if you did listen to the last show, I still have the same complaint in that they should have followed through in the final scene of the ride, the house at the end when everybody's dancing inside.
So I think what you have for that, it's in Buzz Lightyear does it in Space Ranger Spin. You got over in Anna and Elsa and the Seven Dwarves. Because of the way it works, you need a dark ride to pull it off. You can't do that outside.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, part of the limitation.
Yeah, didn't think of that. You're right.
Because you got both sides of the spectrum. I don't know if they're lighting it from the front or lighting it from the back or using the same trick that they used in the Haunted Mansion years and years and years ago for the bus that are singing.
The glass.
It's kind of the same thing, right? But I think light's a limitation. So those are part of what you need to know where it's going to go in the ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true.
Leads you to, we need something better, which takes you the direction we're going in the A1000. It's amazing.
I think as much as I really love the Elsa animatronic in the Frozen, because of the angle of where you're at, you're farther away from her. I think it's darker in that room. She looks very real. But I really dislike... the end scene with Anna and Elsa in their summer sunflower dresses.
Right.
It looks weird to be that close to this mannequin face that's completely faceless and that's projected on there. It really takes me out of the moment, and I almost would rather go back to a Peter Pan animatronic, which is clunky, but at least I kind of know what it is.
But he's there. Know? Sure. Kind of an odd thing happened animatronic-wise over at Epcot last week. The Donald animatronic over in the Mexico Pavilion,
Three Caballeros,
correct. He had, I guess, gone down, so he was missing. So what they had did is take the other animatronics out and put three cardboard cutouts of the guys there. Which, you think about it, it's like, oh, they went cheap, but I'm like, no, they just went consistent. And I think if you have two that were animatronics and one that wasn't, it looks a lot odder than having three cutouts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Until they're fixed.
Video's got to be right there somewhere. Just turn it back on.
Yeah. So now present at Walt Disney World, is there any other animatronics or Disneyland that stand out to you guys? I know
we talked for almost an hour about animatronics and never mentioned the Country Bears.
Well, that's what I was coming back to our present, like animatronics. Because there are so many still that we haven't discussed, and the Country Bear is definitely a good place to start. And they got a little bit of a makeover 5-6 years ago to make them a little bit more hip looking.
Yep.
But they've always been pretty fluid since as far as back I can remember, as far as movement wise and such.
Well, I think always. Like in the beginning, we weren't, it was almost like we knew that they weren't going to be fluid. Like it was going to be a little jerky just because the technology wasn't there. So of course, when they kind of got their little upgrade, they are a little bit more fluid.
Yeah. I love the heads on the wall. That was the best thing. That was kind of the surprise. You weren't expecting that to happen while you were just hanging out waiting for the show to start.
Yeah. And have you ever actually, like, sometimes I almost get distracted when I'm at Country Bears and I sit there and actually sometimes will watch the three heads. And I know they have names. And I can probably look it up.
Yeah.
But sometimes I get distracted because I'm watching them because they're not just still. During the show, they're interacting as well. They're watching the show just like you are.
And you know what? The first time I noticed that, it was because it was annoying. You could hear their eyes blinking. So you knew that they were doing stuff.
Yep.
Melvin, Buff, and Max.
Yep.
And there you go. Max.
Nice. And I think that's how you know when it's an older animatronic, you can kind of hear the like clicking that happens when like eyes and mouth close and stuff like that.
Yeah. Very much so.
And there's so much less of that now than there used to be.
Yes.
Right? Well, yeah, because I can remember when I was a kid in the Country Bears, you could hear click, 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 click over the music. It was so loud. And that's not the case anymore. They've done a lot to settle that now.
Yep. I'm sure, like you said, digital-wise and things like that. Transistors, electronics. Now, another big animatronic pull, as far as they have a big, big supply of them, is the American Adventure over at Epcot. They have multiple scenes with multiple animatronics doing multiple things. However, you do have a couple standouts. Of course, you got Ben Franklin, first animatronic to walk upstairs and shake hands.
Yep.
Cool.
Wayne Rogers, the first animatronic to spin a lasso, and he actually is spinning that lasso when he's doing that speech over on the side there. He steps out. I thought that's always been pretty phenomenal.
I think all the animatronics that are within Jungle Cruise, all the animals that are, you know, outside every day, through the weather,
in water,
that's pretty amazing, and that was a compromise for Walt because they couldn't give him, you know, the safari ride that he was hoping for. We now have, and I would wonder. Which one's harder to maintain, the real life animals or sometimes the animatronics? Just so many and under such harsh conditions, not only just doing a repetitive motion, but doing that under all these elements is pretty amazing.
Sure. And
that's a great point because the elephants, for crying out loud, those are animatronics.
Yeah.
It's amazing to think.
We saw one of the hippos out of the water on the backstage tour one time. Which was pretty cool.
Neat.
And they basically only show, there's only part of the hippo that shows above water there. Everything else was kind of a frame and all the machinery underneath of it.
They're hippo bottomless, as my tour guide called them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how they keep that water dirty. Like that. That's to hide the magic.
Florida clean water.
Okay, guys.
Yeah, when I think, the only other thing that I think when I think animatronics is, of course, Haunted Mansion. As far as present, because you can't do Haunted Mansion without animatronics.
Sure. Even one less in Walt Disney World as opposed to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Talk about the simplest animatronic in the world, right? Three cutouts that sort of lean and put their thumbs out. But so just timeless and so quintessential Disney, the Hitchhiking Ghosts. And they got to be easy as can be.
And think they're iconic. Like I said, I don't think yes. you can't.
They just
think
made the Super Bowl
without. Yeah,
they did.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And the Chevy commercial.
But think about what they do. They lean and stick their thumb, and then they go back in position, and they lean and they stick their thumb out. But it's perfect.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. And that's everything that's around it that makes it so perfect. That's what's great. Yeah.
You know, the bride in Haunted Mansion is the same animatronic that Anna and Elsa are. She has that reflective face now.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
She's the animated probably one face. Of the first ones, I think.
The first time I remember seeing it was Buzz Lightyear. In the queue.
On the ride. That's right, on the line. Sure, the guy in the front. And that's probably right. And then the Haunted Mansion, they might have snuck that in there, too. You might be right about that, too, being a little earlier than the other guys. But still, really cool. Now, and you mentioned Haunted Mansion, one other animatronic that it kind of shows how they don't have to be a person walking around to be a cool animatronic. Online, right before you get to the door, you have the tombstones. Madame Leota's tombstone over on the left there. You kind of watch her for a little while. She'll open her eyes, look around, and close them again.
Just that very simple. Cool. Eye-opening.
It's cool.
Well, okay, and it's not even that simple, though. Her head moves, like where her chin will go in and out.
Yep.
And there was also another, like, direction. But they're all so subtle that they're made to be so that you see it, you tap whoever you're with to look at it, and it's not there anymore. How many times I see people do that online? It's hilarious, and they do it as a goof. I'm sure that's the part of the reason they did it that way, timing wise.
Does anyone know in the queue while you're waiting and you're in the stretch room, and when the ceiling flickers out and you see your host hanging from the rafters there? Is he an animatronic on a string that's moving, or is that a projected shadow?
I always assumed it was an actual animatronic. You know, we'll call it an animatronic.
I just thought it was a dummy hanging there.
Right. Yeah.
But it does move, so there has to be some.
Could be a fan, a little wind.
So to make it move, right? Sure.
I'm trying like to. But that's what they did back then. Right. Yeah. That's what they did back then when they were back in the 60s. It was the simplest solution in the world.
Sure. Or it could be just something like a little pulley up on top of the rope, just going around in a circle. One end bigger than the other, so it goes up and down. One of the coolest things, and real quick before we get from Haunted Mansion, and I'll kind of squeeze this as an animatronic, but it was more sound effect. When you're in that stretching room, if you're the last one out and you really kind of lag behind, you hear ghosts whispering, telling you, get out, move on.
So, Ed, you talked about the A100 animatronic, which was the Wicked Witch and some others that match that. Since then, the latest generation of animatronic is the A1000 versus the 100. So it better be 10 times better, right?
Of course.
And I don't think it's got to be. And no better way of seeing that than Hondu and Naka in Smuggler's Run Q, which just looks like there's an actor acting out in the queue, talking to Chewbacca, who's on the screen. It's just an amazing feat. And that's the latest and greatest animatronic as it stands right now in 2021.
Yeah, his movements are pretty radical. And I got to imagine that whole 1 second takes 8 hours. That's probably bumped up higher than that.
Probably. And now if that's a good one, someone else mentioned the other awesome animatronic that is there today over in Pandora.
Yeah, the Navi River priestess. Shaman, yeah.
The shaman, just amazing. The way that that thing looks, the way that it moves, it looks like a person. You have to look multiple times. And where the technology is when they get it right is just phenomenal.
It is.
And I also want to mention, before we stop talking about the A1000s, one that I think a lot of people forget about, Lumiere in Enchanted Tales of Belle.
You're right.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. Well, I've only been in there once, but I never even thought about that.
I mean,
same boat, Ed.
Well, I mean, I've gone in there a couple times. I may or may not have helped perform for Belle, you know.
Yeah. Nice.
But
it's a great show.
Yeah. He's right up there with the shaman and Hondo as far as that
even
technology.
The wardrobe.
Oh yeah.
So she's pretty fantastic in her face, and you really feel like she's a living, breathing wardrobe from the movie. Yep.
Right. The hand movements of the shot, the priestess, is pretty cool. That's what I remember as we passed by her.
Yeah. But that's what's so cool. It everything with the A1000s, it is lifelike. You have to double take and be like, how is that technology? How is that not a person doing that?
Well, that's the next step. I've heard that in, I want to say, South Korea, they're going to be creating, or Japan, robots to administer vaccinations. And they're basically going to be these type of robot, quote-unquote, animatronic, realistic type of beings. Interesting to see where it goes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is the rocket animatronic in the Guardians attraction in Disneyland, the A1000 line? Because I haven't seen him in person. I hope that we get one in our Guardians.
I would have to say, if I had to say between the two, definitely, because he was doing a lot of movement and a lot of like muscle action as he was moving around.
I've heard so many people say that they thought an actual raccoon was in the ride.
Yeah, no. Okay.
Scene. So I really, for my future, ones that I look forward to, hope that we get something like a rocket in the Guardians of the Galaxy in Epcot.
Oh, I'm sure. And that's going to be a topic for another show, is like, what are we expecting to get? Or what are some of the animatronics? My son and I were just talking about the new animatronics we're going to get in The Princess and the Frog once they redo the Splash Mountain attraction. Yeah. I can imagine where you're definitely going to have Louie blowing the horn somewhere, and you're going to have a bunch of different ones going on. So, yeah.
When you start to combine some of these things too, one of the videos that I'd done previously is all about the Living Character Initiative and where this stuff goes to, and how you can combine an animatronic with digital puppetry with you go down the list of technology, and it makes me think, is Muppet Mobile Labs an animatronic?
Yeah, it is. I forgot. I was going to bring him up too. And the dinosaur they had over in...
Lucky was the beginning of that. And when you look at Lucky carried that cart around because all the computing power was in the cart. Yep. They couldn't miniaturize it. And then they got to the point where they were able to miniaturize it for Ratatouille. And then you take the Mickey character that with the mouth moving, and you combine it with all of these things. And all of that adds up to the Living Character Initiative, which Muppet Mobile Labs is a great example, where you have digital puppetry plus animatronics all working together with a ship that's basically on a Segway that's moving itself around. It's amazing where this stuff goes. Sure. And the conclusion that I came to, the Living Character Initiative is Disney magic. That's really what it is. It's just a way of entertaining people, getting them to suspend reality and see something for what it isn't. I really think that's what it is.
Sure. Definitely.
And what's so bad is like, you see Remy and you see Lucky the dinosaur, which was the walking dinosaur, and the Muppet Lab, and even Push, if you think about it, Push the trash can. But what is so sad is they're not active, like, even before COVID, they are not actively in the parks anymore. And it's sad, and I have to hope that they are still working on doing some version of these animatronics that are freeform, without a lack of a better description, because that adds so much to the magic of Disney.
Sure. I'm hoping.
I think that's Galaxy's Edge, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that's how we were sold Galaxy's Edge, is you were going to be able to interact with droids, and I keep hearing that that's what they're striving for. They have the patents for that. It's just making sure to keep guests safe so that they don't run anybody over.
Yeah.
But to be able to interact with an R2-D2, or I would love to see Wall-E come back. I know that for a brief
Wall-E
time.
Wall-E was a great one, yeah.
Yeah, he was visiting. He just couldn't stop on a dime.
Wall-E, yeah.
And he was heavy. He was super heavy. Sure. He runs over a toe, you got some pain going.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the problems you ran into with the droids in Galaxy's Edge is they didn't anticipate the rough terrain that the droids would need to go across.
Mm-hmm.
So they're back to the drawing board on figuring some of that out, which they'll figure out eventually. And I'm sure that we'll see droids scooting around and interacting with people. I mean, look, all of this stuff is just prime for the space cruiser that they're building over in Galaxy's Edge. So it's stuff's coming.
And I think what we'll see with Guardians and Tron, how they approach that as far as just any animatronics on queues and part of the ride itself, to see how far they'll go to actually add them to the parks. That's the next couple sets of rides we have opening up. So we'll see if they add that. And Ratatouille.
Yeah. I wonder if because of COVID, one thing we see for character interactions are character interactions with animatronics, much like you saw with BB-8 and Groot, that you can have these interactions with these characters and kind of take that magic from Mickey. What was he called? Where he would talk with you on Main Street.
And I think he was just talking Mickey.
Yeah, I think he was just talking Mickey. Yeah.
And like the being able to kind of ping information from your magic band to know this is who's in the party and then be able to interact with you. And then you really don't have any of that people-to-people contact. That might be something that really spurs out of COVID, which would be pretty exciting.
Yeah,
they were getting to that, especially with the photo pass-less camera
over at Star Wars. So, yeah.
Yeah, they did a few.
Okay, guys. So we talked about the animatronics that we had in the parks, talked about the ones that we missed. We got to, before we get done, talk about the worst. What are the animatronics that really stood out to you guys that were just really, really bad?
I got three. Anybody else got any?
Yeah, I do too.
I'm sure that you do. All right. I'm going to go with what I would consider my top one because I don't want anybody to steal it. And I think you're going to go the same place, Ed. And that is Ellen from Ellen's Energy Adventure. What was going on?
Yeah, no doubt.
They did not do a good job with her even looking like Ellen, in my opinion.
That's what I mean. She looked nothing like Ellen.
And it was bad enough that it went on for so many years, even to the point where Ellen got super famous and they still left it that bad.
Mm-hmm. All right, if I'm not mistaken, when the ride closed, that animatronic didn't make an appearance on Ellen's talk show.
It did, and she told him to take it away.
It was horrible. It was horrible. Okay, cool. You said you had three. Finish it off.
Sigourney Weaver.
Yep.
In the alien scene.
Yeah, she's on mine too.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Mm-hmm. Again, another one.
Doesn't look anything.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
I just got it. And the last one I'm going to get in trouble for.
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
You're going to see.
Just do it. Just rip off the Band-Aid.
Donald Trump.
Well, okay, let me expand that one, though, too, because I want to say I have both the last two presidents on my list. I don't think Obama looked that great either, the animatronic they did, as far as looking like the actual president.
And maybe it's just getting a real person, because Hondo Inaka looks great, but that's not a person, right? You're animating a character.
Oh, no,
a cartoon, literally.
Yep. I think it's because we don't have... oh, crap. The artist who did the sculpting, Blaine.
Blaine Gibson.
Yes. As far as maybe the last two presidents hasn't been his work and it's been noticed. Or maybe it's just a matter of it's just the times. It's tougher to get them that accurate. That doesn't make any sense.
You would think
it would be the opposite, though.
I agree.
With technology and with all the things that we have at our disposal, that the likeness should be better.
Yes.
I wonder if it's a matter of who are you dedicating to Hall of Presidents? Because although the animatronic will probably continue to be used if they keep the same setup, that animatronic has to get turned around in a year, right after the election. Then they've been creating it, trying to pin the president down to get their recording, trying to program all that, and then get the ride up and running again. And then you've got to do that again in maybe 4 to 8 years, and then that animatronic's just going to go and sit on the backstage for a while and just stand up at some point. So,
and
if
not
it's
be
me,
moving.
I'm not
going to.
Yeah, I'm not going to invest as much money. Maybe as you know, I don't want to.
True.
Say that
yeah, true.
But you know, instead of a different attraction that's going to have the longevity.
Think how good the old presidents look. That's the other side of the coin too. It's like maybe Sam had something in that you're not comparing him to somebody alive because Martin Van Buren. Man, he looks just like his painting. He looks pretty realistic.
Yeah, James Madison, all of them. Go right down the list.
But yeah, when you
and
get closer.
JFK looks good. I thought Ronald Reagan looked good.
Yeah, like I kind of want to agree with like Sam's theory, because I would hate to think, and you know, whenever I go into Hall of Presidents, I get a little patriotic.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I would hate to walk in there, see, you know, the current president, and oh, it doesn't really look like him. Another president comes along. Oh, that doesn't really look. It kind of feels like it's a shame, or like I can't really describe. Just it feels wrong, because this is the current leader of our country.
Sure.
And you still need to invest the time and the artistry that needs to be done, even if he's only going to be talking for a couple of years, you know?
And think about how you're sitting at the meeting when they discuss the final, like, you know, rendition of what Donald Trump was going to look like. How do they sit there and say, yeah, this is the greatest thing we could put out there? Yeah, yeah, I don't get that at all. Or like I said, Obama.
This benefit of the doubt. If you're sitting in the theater in the middle to back rows watching it with the naked eye, it looks good.
Yeah.
If okay, you're zoomed enough. In on it with a camera that's HD, it's like, what are they thinking? Yeah. So you got to take that into perspective too.
Sure.
And I've had that many times when I go with my mom, because she has the ECV, we're usually in the back row.
Top row. But, looks good.
Yeah. But I have my camera. So then when I get home and I'm editing the photos, I'm like, ooh. What happened?
Right. Right.
Was I drunk? Wait, no, that was Magic Kingdom. I couldn't have been drunk.
You're right.
Was that American Adventure, or was that anyway?
Yeah.
Thanks, Ed. I got to talk. Any other bad ones you guys got?
I actually have one that's becoming a more current issue problem, and it's kind of sad because it's one of my favorites. Carousel Progress's dad. He's having issues. I've seen his neck a couple times in the last couple of years kind of sticking out and some other issues like that. I don't know if it's just getting old or lack of like care or something like that.
Yeah, he needs some TLC. Yeah. He needs some zhuzhing and some refurb. And
he needs the Christmas scene to go back to the original is what he needs.
But yeah, other than that, no, I'm good. Do you guys have any other worsts?
Mine is the Figment. Animatronics. It's just very rough, and it's not my favorite attraction, you know, the current iteration of it. But yeah, it looks very puppety. It doesn't look polished and Disney, in my opinion.
And we never talk about Dreamfinder in this entire thing.
Yeah, here. I'm actually surprised, because actually I have Figment as my favorite animatronic, and that's not because... You know,
well, let's not the current Figment, but the
not
previous.
The current Figment.
Yeah. Okay.
Figment is my favorite character, period. Like, basically, if anything's got Figment on it, I will probably buy it. So I love the original Journey into Imagination. I love Dreamfinder. That's why, like, my photography is named Dreamfinder Photography, because of that ride. So Figment is like a little piece of my heart, and I will still ride the current version because it's Figment. And I know the animatronic is not the best, but I rather have any kind of Figment than no Figment at all.
I ride that ride because I'm a nerd. I still do it. Okay,
but,
guys.
But I would love to have the original back. But that's a whole different show.
Yeah, that'll never happen. Get used to YouTube. Get yourself a Oculus VR headset, and you can go ride the ride in VR. Okay, guys. So that's it for show 378. What do you think? What kind of animatronics did we leave out? What's your favorite? What are you missing? What do you expect to see down the road? Let us know. Jimmy, how can everybody get in touch with the show?
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast, and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com. And watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So thanks for listening to show number 378. Without you, it wouldn't be worth it. So for Sam, Melissa, Morgan, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
Kongaloosh.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a toll.